all the preborn life-saving progress of 35 years. Go to TooExtremeForFlorida.com for more information, and please vote no on 4.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. We are delighted that you joined us for today's broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Now let's get into the Word with Apostle Trevor Banks.
And I've entitled this, of course, is the final grace and the restoration of the image. Amen. The restoration of the image. You know, in these last days, kingdoms are clashing. Oh, yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And amen. And we have a kingdom that can't be shaken, can't be destroyed. Amen. But the kingdoms are going to clash ultimately in the human race as Satan is totally dethroned. The kingdoms will clash. So if you will, go with me first to the book of Psalms, chapter 103 and verse number 19. I will lay this out for you. What I believe is the restoration of the image. God's ultimate goal. You know, Adam lost it in Eden, and Jesus restored it in Gethsemane. Yeah. Amen. You know, now Adam went from being a spiritual being, and he dropped down to the soulish realm. Amen. You know, when Adam was created, he didn't have to learn anything. He didn't have to learn. He just discerned. When he lost that position, now he had to learn. Amen. When before we're born again, we have to learn everything. But when you get born again, there's a lot of stuff you don't have to learn necessarily, book-wise or knowledge-wise. You can discern it. Amen. You may not know all the details about it, but you can discern that thing and say, ah. I can't tell you today, but I'll let you know that ain't God. Amen. Amen. About 2 weeks later, y'all find out it ain't God. Right? So he lost something. As a matter of fact, his procreative power left his mind and went to his loins. Like the animals, like the beasts. But originally it was there. And in Christ, now we have the mind of Christ. There's a return of a creative force in our mind. I mentioned a word yesterday in one of the sessions, abracadabra. You know, you hear magicians say that. Amen. Pulling rabbits out of hat. Abracadabra. But what the word means, and it's in the Talmud, the original word is in the Talmud, and it means, as I speak, I create. As I speak, I create. Apostle has touched on it so, got some bugs flying around up here. Ain't no fruit up here. Has touched on it so intricately that this is the decade of pay. Amen. And it's important to pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. Amen. Because there's a creative force, whether for good or bad. You have, ultimately, you will have what you say. Amen. And you give an account for every idle or non-working word. Amen. Ultimately. So we want to pay close attention to that. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Can we establish that fact? That reality. No matter what's going on in the world, his kingdom rules over all. God has never been out of control. He will always have the last say. The say-so. Amen. So his kingdom rules overall. Give me Proverbs 21, verse 30. Proverbs 21, verse 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. I don't care what people try to concoct, construct, how fearsome or heinous the weapon may be that forms. God says there's no counsel. I don't care what they think about, what they try to do, what they try to construct, what they try to concoct, how evil it may be, how dark it may be. There's no counsel. There's no wisdom against the Lord. In other words, ain't none of it going to work. Okay, we're going to lay foundation in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. I think I want to start at verse 20. Verse 20 through 26. Kingdoms will clash. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So let's settle the fact that God is in control. He's in control of all the steps of your life. As a matter of fact, he orders, not just orders your steps, but orders the pace of your steps. Amen. He determines when. Seasons. He has reserved your seasons of harvest. Amen. He is not just the steps. Let me say it again. But the pace by which you walk. Sometimes you think you're going too slow. Sometimes you think you're moving too fast. Just remember, God's in control. You unlock that dimension by faith, having faith in it, that all things are working together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. We're going to dig into this deeper, but this keeps coming to my spirit about the priests carrying the ark. Now, the ark wasn't that heavy, but it had to be carried by the priest. It had to be shouldered. Amen. How many know the anointing has to be shouldered? Amen. You can't roll it around in an ox cart, amen, park it somewhere and go. No, you got to pay the price to carry that thing on your shoulder, amen, everywhere you go. But now, what was interesting, when the feet of the priests, they were carrying the presence, when their feet entered the Jordan, it says the soles of the feet of the priests, not their sandals. There's a distinction there. It's soles of the feet have to do with holiness. Amen. You know, we all have shoes on, and you know, maybe, you know, different people, different shoe brands, Nike, Adidas, you know, all of that. But that's not the sole of your foot. That's the sole of Adidas. When we talk about the sole of the feet, we're talking about holiness. Amen. Moses, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. The ground on which you stand is holy. Joshua said, what shall I do? I said, loose thy shoe. Yes. 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 Why? They were in the presence. But here's the thing. The Jordan represents, you do a research on that word, It's a number of things, but one thing that it represents is trouble. Amen. You look the Jordan up, it means trouble, tribulation, distress. They had to cross the Jordan. But when the feet of the priests, You read this in Joshua. When the feet of the priest rested in the Jordan. What does that tell us? You have to learn how to rest in your distress. You can't let distress be the narrative. This is a test. Let me show you. Because see, once their feet rested there, 17 miles upstream, in a city called Adam. That's interesting that the city was called Adam. And what it represents is the old nature. They were 17 miles down here in Bethabara, but they got a handle on the trouble and planted themselves in the trouble. With the ark on their shoulder, the presence of God. 17 miles upstream, God shut the water off. And so the influence of Adam stops. Come on, we're talking holiness here. Not talking about what you wear. We're talking about how is it developed in us when you can stand firm. Amen. With the presence, even in the time of trouble, you're not reverting to an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, getting even. I don't get mad, I get even. No, you're there holding. Why? What happens? Adam is cut off. The influence of the fallen nature is cut off. So it's not what you do, it's how you stand. How you stand. Can you stand to be blessed? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. And then we're going to read 18. Well, let's go to verse 125, 1 Corinthians. Well, no, let's go to 18. Well, and these are my notes, too. Yeah, that's the apostle. 18, go to verse 18. We'll start there. We'll get this right. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Somebody say foolishness. Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by foolishness. Somebody say foolishness.
Foolishness.
Of preaching to save them that believe. Isn't that something? God chose preaching to get folks saved. Think about it a minute. Preaching. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see how you're calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are.
Thank you for listening to On to Perfection. If you would like to order today's message, or if you want more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.reslifefl.com. That's www.reslifefl.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.